All right, open your Bibles to Book of Timothy. That'll give you an idea of what we're going to talk about tonight. I did a Sunday school lesson on this Sunday week ago. Anybody remember what we talked about? Good, that's what I thought. I don't feel bad, I didn't either. I had to go back and look. You know, see, that's the good thing about teaching the seniors. If you did a bad job, it don't matter. Nobody remembers next week. So we get to try it all over again. I just felt like it was really important, the time that we live in. And I don't know about you, but I believe we're living in the last days. And I feel like sometimes we've heard that so much that we act like we don't really believe it. But I do believe that we're living in the end times. And that's what I'm going to talk to you. So turn to chapter 3. Now, Paul here is writing to Timothy. This is during his second imprisonment. And these are basically pastoral epistles. However, they do pertain to us. And when he was writing to Timothy, he's giving Timothy some warnings and insight of what the future of the church is going to be. So, therefore, he is writing it to the church, correct? And we are the church, amen? Now, I do know and I understand that this was written over 2,000 years ago. So, this is what happens to a lot of us. This is what we do. And I'm kind of going to review everything that I taught last week because nobody remembered what I taught anyhow. What I was going to do, I wanted to finish it. So I said, where do I start? I said, I can't really start where I stopped because half of you weren't here. Maybe more than half of you weren't here Sunday. So I said, I just have to start in the beginning and go back through it. I'll just do it real quick. That probably won't happen. But anyhow, we're going to try. But when it comes to, when we look at time, you know, we look at things that was so long ago. It was over 2,000 years ago. And when he wrote this to Timothy, Paul was telling him what's going to be. And we're saying, if it was that bad 2,000 years ago, we're still here. How much worse can it really be? Or how much worse is it going to get in order for the trumpet to sound? Well, this is what we forget. God doesn't live under time. You know, he created the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun and the earth, and he hung it there. But we live inside of the realm of time. God doesn't. When the sun comes up in the morning, you and I are going to start another day. And then when it comes up again on Friday, we're going to start another day if the trumpet don't sound. So when we talk about 2,000 years, you know, Second Peter 3:8. Says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So with that being said, when we look back 2,000 years, two days. As far as the Lord's concerned, it's like 2 days has passed. And you and I, we look at that in 2,000 years as a long time. But to him, you know, it's just like a vapor. And so life goes by really fast. So everything that Paul is telling Timothy here pertains to us. It's just like he wrote it 2 days ago. And that's the way we need to read our Bible. We need to read our Bible like it's real. We need to read our Bible like it's taking place and it's happening to us today, because it is. And folks, what we're fixing to read is extremely important to the church. Now, this is what we do. We'll read this and we'll look at it as a pastoral type thing. And we don't take it personally as individuals. But what Paul is telling Timothy here, and what he's trying to get a point to the church, is how important things are as we raise our families in the times that we're living in. And we're going to go through that in just a moment here. But the times and the days that we're living right today are extremely important. Now, I can't even imagine the way Pastor Carter sees things. I can't imagine him standing here today teaching after he's been teaching all the years he's teaching, and to see how people react, how they raise their families, how they're doing things that he has preached against for 50 years, and they're still doing them. They're still doing the exact opposite of what God teaches us to do. And we have warning right here. And folks, if you got kids, listen to what God's telling you. Folks, the devil wants your children. See, you get up in the morning and you get dressed and you take off to work, and that's where your day begins. Folks, that's not where it starts. You know, you should start on your knees, amen? You should start with a prayer. Because the devil, as you're going to work, where's your children going? Where did you send your children? On the average day, you're sending them off to school someplace. Whether it's here in a private school or whether it's in a public school. Either way, you're entrusting your children to somebody else. How do they truly live their lives? See, what you see on the outside is not always what's there, is it? It's what's on the inside. So we have people all over the world here, just like they're already in the public schools, that aren't what they seem to be. But you're entrusting your children to them. That's why when we read this passage right here, it's important that you take heed to what God has given to you. Because it's your responsibility to raise your child. God has given you that child. He has entrusted that child to you. It's not the teacher's responsibility. It's not the principal's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility as a parent. So when your child goes wrong, guess whose fault it is? It's yours. Don't blame the teacher. Don't blame the PE coach. Don't blame the principal. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame your neighbor. Look at yourself. You're the one responsible for raising your children. And this is what we do as Christians. We'll get in the message here in a minute. But this is what we do as Christians. That's why I come down here. I didn't want to get up here because if I go to preaching, I'll be at my soul. I'll never get through what we need to get through. But when you're talking about your children, this is what you do as individuals. I know because I've done it. My wife's sitting right there. She still does it. Amen. Pray for her. We don't even have children anymore. We got puppies and she still does it. This is what we do. We take our children to church. When I say we, I'm talking about the group here as a church. We bring our children to church. Thank God for that. We listen to the preaching. Hey, man, we agree with the pastor. Then when we go out of here, we live a different life. That's right. Now, don't say that you don't do it, because I know most of you. Yeah. Amen? I see you outside of the church. But this is what we do. We go home and we live a different life. Now, what did you just tell your child? Because see, your child coming up from a baby is watching. Your child has his eyes or her eyes on you. They're watching you. They didn't hear the preacher. They didn't read the Bible. And if they did, it was probably a kid's story. They're learning from what they see from you. So when you leave here and you go home and you live a different life, you're telling your child that what went on here today is a lie. That's what you're saying. You're saying that what really happened in there is not important. That's what you're saying. Because if it was important to you, you would live what you agreed with the pastor on. The way you dress, the way you talk, what you do, everything, every day of your life. Let me give you just a simple example. Preacher's talking, he's preaching against people, which we're going to talk about right here, that's against God. How about Starbucks? Is Starbucks for God? Huh? No, they're against God, right? How many of you bought Starbucks coffee this week? You say, well, it's my money. No, it's God's money. God gave it to you. You're accountable for what he gives you. So we're going to take God's money that he had given to us, and we're going to go to a place that we know for a fact is against God and give it to them. Does that make any sense to you? Your child saw you do that. And then you tell your children that you need to honor God. What did you just do? Were you honoring God by giving your money to them? Now, look, don't get me wrong. I understand we have to go to Winn-Dixie or Publix or Walmart. We've got to go somewhere to buy groceries. We can't control what they do. But the things that you can control, you need to control. You don't need to let your children see you, because every time you do this, you're telling your child it doesn't matter. So if that doesn't matter, by the time they're 18, guess what? It doesn't matter. Mom and dad's a joke. Mom and dad, they're in church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And when they get 18, they get out of here, they're gone. Why? Because it wasn't real to you. Now, it's hard to sit there and eat that, isn't it? But it's the truth. We do it. We're all guilty. I've done it. Because we don't look at the little things that are most important. We look at the big things. And it's funny how we can see it in somebody else, but we can't see it in ourselves. Boy, it's easy for me to sit here and I can just start going through the crowd. I can sit right here and walk and pick out 100 things that's wrong. But when it comes to yourself, it's always hard to find something in it. Boy, I'm just perfect. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I'm perfect in our baby. She'll say, yeah, right. If you only knew. That's what she's thinking right now. If you only knew. Chapter 3. It says this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. What's it talking about, perilous times? It's basically talking about times, dangerous times. So when we see that in the time that we live in, we're thinking about wars, right? Murderers, how bad it is in D.C. or New York. Is it really talking about that? It is talking about that in one respect. But is it not also talking about the church? See, remember, this was just written 2 days ago. Paul wrote it to Timothy, right? And he's talking to Timothy. He's giving him information that he needs about and for the church. So when we look at it in that manner, dangerous times are coming for the church. What is it considered to be? The devil's after your children. Is that not dangerous? And all the list of things we're fixing to go through is dangerous for the church. And you'll see that as we start to go through here. Look at verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Lovers of their own selves. Is that not perilous times? Yes. And we're living in them right here, right today, even in the church. Men love themselves more than they love God. They're so busy trying to uplift themselves in the position, regardless of what it may be, they're not focusing on the things of God. Let me just tell you something right quick. It won't cost you a dime. If you want to be big in the church, just serve God. Just serve God. God will take care of you. He will put you, and by the way, everybody can't be the pastor. You understand that? Everybody can't be the pastor. What would we look like with everybody in here trying to preach tonight? Nobody would have a clue what was being said or going on. It'd be like a circus. So we need everybody that's in the church. And according to Scripture, each and every one of us is given a certain position that God has given us. And God has put each of us in that position as he sees fit. So if he's got you vacuuming floors, that's where he's got you. So if you're not vacuuming the floor the best that you can, or you're not vacuuming the floor, who are you dishonoring? You're dishonoring God. He's the one that put you in that position. Why did he put you in that position? I don't know. I don't have a clue. All I know is that's where God put you. Or if he put you teaching Sunday school, or if he put you teaching school, if he put you in the cafeteria, wherever it may be, God has put you there for a specific reason. And we all make up part of the body of Christ, correct? If we would just keep that in focus, instead of being so proud, as he's talking about here, lovers of their own selves, we're so busy loving ourselves that we forget to love God and his people. See, it's more important that I love you than it is that I love myself. And I don't know about you, but I like to feed myself. You can tell, right? Amen. So should I not be concerned as to whether or not you're eating? Yeah, I should be. I should be concerned about that. I should be concerned as to whether or not you have a place to sleep tonight. We're all supposed to love one another. So when we're doing what they're talking about right here, lovers of their own selves, are we serving God? Are we pleasing to God? No. They're looking on worldly things. They're looking on interests regardless of how it involves or how it reflects on somebody else. It doesn't matter. To them, it's all about me. We live in the me generation. Everything's about me. It doesn't matter about you. That's what this is speaking of. So how does that pertain? Does that help the church? In no way. Does your children, are you that way? Or does your children see you act that way? It's not good. We need to be lovers of the church, not lovers of ourselves. And then it goes on to say, covetousness. What's covetousness? Worldly things, right? I got to have a bigger car, need a bigger house, bigger boat, more toys, whatever the case may be. And that nowhere in the Bible does it teach us that it's wrong to have anything. It's not wrong to own something. It's not wrong to have a home. But it's wrong when that becomes your life. When you begin to put all these worldly things before God, then it becomes wrong. That becomes your God. So when we're talking about covetousness, does that harm the church? Does that create perilous times for the church? Right before I left the house, I was watching the news, and Facebook just got a fine. Y'all know what Facebook is, right? Facebook just got a fine, $5 billion. That is only 9% of its yearly income. Wonder if they tithe on that. Can you imagine? That's only 9%. So 10% would be quite a bit bigger chunk. What if they were to tithe on that? You think that would help the church? Sure it would. Sure it would. But that's the time that we live in. Covetousness. Boasters. What does it mean to be a boaster? You know, have you ever seen a guy that just, you know, he just, if you could buy him for what he was worth and then sell him for what he was really worth, you'd be a wealthy person, right? You seen those people? There's people like that out there. Don't be a boaster. Don't get entrapped into these same things. Do you know how easy it is to become that person? How easy it is to talk about how good a job I did? Hey, that was me. I taught that Sunday school class over there last week, man. It was good. You ever done that? Folks, that's not what God wants. God wants you to talk about what that person did last week. See, I should be talking about Brother Doug. Oh, hey, man, I heard, let me tell you about this. I saw Brother Doug. No, not really. Brother Doug on the radio does an awesome job. Brother Jesse does an awesome job. That is our job as Christians. That's our job as Christians, to uplift other Christians. Instead of being a boaster, it's all about me. Then we move on, it says proud. You ever seen proud people? Nobody in here is proud, I know. I know there's not one person in here is proud. Let me tell you something. Do you know when you think that you've got the only child that don't sin, you're proud? And let me tell you something else. You are deceived. Because your child is like the rest of the thugs out here, okay? Listen to me. I remember when my children was growing up, if the phone rang and it was the school, my wife and I would look at each other like, oh, my soul, what have they burnt down? Look, folks, your kids aren't perfect. Let me tell you something. When you're not around, they're wicked. They are children, just like everybody else's child. Now, I know you think your little girl's perfect, but she's not. And your little boy, he's not perfect either, and the rest of us can tell you that. Okay? Now, I'm the one that ain't afraid to tell you. I'll tell you. They're all just alike. They're children. They're growing up. They make mistakes, and they do things wrong. But don't be so proud that you're blind to what they're doing. Because that's what we do. We're so proud of our children, we ignore the fact. Let me give you a good example. Your child comes home from school. Your teacher, oh, my soul, mama, my teacher is just so bad. You need to spank your child right then. Come on now, listen to me. Your teacher goes here to church, probably been teaching 20 years. Okay, it's the second year, all right? Okay, but anyways, is your teacher really that bad? Do you believe your teacher's that bad? Why do you have your child in our school? You see what I'm saying? So when you agree with your child, what are you doing? You're teaching your child that we're a lie. Everything that the preacher said and everything that the principal said and everything that the teacher's saying, it don't matter. What matters is what my little girl wants. Now, spank that little girl, okay? Folks, don't be so proud, but that's what we do as a church. That you think Paul's not warning Timothy about that? Sure he is. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Oh, my soul. You know what blaspheming is? Let me tell you, let me give you a little hint what blaspheming is. You take a gay person, you take a male that's queer, and he says, I should have been born a girl. That's blasphemy. God created him a male, and all the sex change operations in the world, he's still a male, regardless. Same way with that female. That's blasphemy. We're taking God's perfect creation, as sinful as we are, as God's perfect creation. And we want to take that and turn it into a wicked, evil thing. That's blasphemy against God. Folks, that's not where the church needs to be. But let me tell you something. There is so-called churches that have homosexuals in the pulpit. Is that not perilous times? Or am I confused? That's perilous times. These times are coming. Now we're living in those days that we're talking about. We're living there right now. So if we're living in the perilous times, the trumpet can sound. So folks, we're living in the last days, and we need to start living like we're living in the last days. We need to just stop ignoring everything, because as Christians, that's what we're doing. We're ignoring everything that we should be fighting for. You know, it amazes me that you put some, even grown-ups in, a lot of grown-ups get big money. Put them in a uniform and put them on a field, paint some lines on the ground and hand them a ball, and they'll kill each other. They'll fight to the death for that $1 million paycheck. It's called football, right? Yeah. Man, no mercy, none whatsoever. But then when it comes to fighting for the things of God, when it comes to fighting for things of Christianity, we're a bunch of wimps. It's the truth. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to say nothing to that guy. He might laugh at me. I don't care. Listen to me. People are laughing at you every day anyways. Trust me. When you're not around, we're laughing at you. Okay? That's life as it is. Who cares? Do you really care that somebody's going to laugh? I don't know about you. My God died on the cross of Calvary, just like Sister Molly was just singing about. Amen. Folks, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad that I have a God that loved me enough to die for me. And I'm not ashamed to tell somebody else. And if they don't like that, guess what? They're the one with the problem. I'm going to heaven. They're on their way to hell. That's what Paul's trying to tell Timothy. These times are coming. These things are coming to your church. And folks, me and you, we're the church. So it's up to us to not let these things creep into our church of God. They're not to sneak into our lives. It's up to each and every one of us to uphold the standards of the Lord. Preacher been preaching on standards for 50 years. I've noticed he's backed off a little bit lately. Why has he backed off a little bit of standards? People don't listen anyways. Yeah, he can stand up here and preach for 9 days that you need to wear a green tie. And everybody in the building will wear a blue tie next week. You understand what I'm saying? People just figure it don't matter. So when you go out of here and it don't matter, what are you telling your children? See, we think, and listen to me, your salvation is not in your suit. This suit is not going to send you to heaven. It's not going to send you to hell. You might not even look better when you get to heaven with it on, okay? But it does set a standard. It says that and listen to me, when you come to church, what are you saying? Why do we wear these clown suits, okay? Look, why do we put these things on? Because this is what we call honoring our God. As the way we dress today, this is the best that we have. Now, if your best is a pair of worn-out blue jeans and a T-shirt, God bless you, that's the best you've got. So be it. But outside of that, when you come to God's house, we're supposed to honor our God. We're here tonight. Why are you here tonight? Did you come to church tonight because it was the right thing to do? Or did you come to church tonight so you can draw a paycheck next week? Preacher won't fire you because you were here? Somebody's taking attendance or something like that? I mean, why are you in church tonight? We're supposed to be here to honor our God. We're supposed to be here to be fed, to get something from our God. That's why we're here. We don't wear a suit to impress one another. We wear a suit to honor our God. you know, there is probably somebody in this building that's lost. And when they see you, they want to see you different than they see themselves. If a drunkard walking off the street, he would expect you to look different than he does. Am I right or wrong? So when he walks in off the street and he sees that, hey, they look the same as I do, I don't need to be here. What's the difference between me and you? That's what they think in their mind. Or how about your children? What are you telling your children? What you're saying is it really doesn't matter. We're just going to church. No, we're going to God's house. We're not just going to church. We're going to God's house. And for that hour while we're here this morning, let's honor God with all that we can honor him. Let's honor him with our dress. Let's honor him with our attitude. You know? I mean, you can be like my wife if you want to. If you want to come in here and sleep through the service, amen. That's more power to you. But you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. And then, I've done this before. I know you've probably never done this. Man, who's preaching tonight? Oh, I should have stayed home. You ever done that? Come on now, don't tell no lie. You know you've done that. Yeah, you know you've done that. You know what I figured out? This is what I figured out. It doesn't matter to me who preaches. As long as they're preaching my God's word, I don't care who teaches it. It doesn't matter to me. What does it matter whether it's me or Brother Ron or Brother John, Brother Bunch, Brother Doug? What does it matter? God's word is still God's word. It doesn't change. So what does it matter who delivers the word? See, we ought to be coming in with an attitude that don't matter who's preaching tonight. It's what we're going to get tonight. What book is he preaching in tonight? What's he teaching tonight? That should be our attitude. That's where we should be as Christians. If not, perilous times are coming. Folks, we can continue to sit on our hands, and we can continue to ignore the word of God, and the devil is stealing your children while you're doing it. My children are gone. I'm born again believer. No matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. No matter what happens to this world, it doesn't matter whether Trump's reelected. It doesn't matter whether he is or whether he's not. It doesn't matter whether the church opens or folds. It makes no difference. I'm going to heaven. Amen. My children are grown. But some of you have children. You need this church. You need your God. And you need to teach your children the right ways. And it starts with you in the things of God. Everything that's listed right here. It also says disobedient to parents. And have you ever had any children that's disobedient? Disobedient to parents. You know, when I was growing up, now there's a difference between doing something wrong and being disobedient to your parent. You know, everybody forgets and leaves their shoes in the floor sometime, okay? My wife still does it. Sometimes people do that, okay? It's no big deal. But when you directly and boldly disobey your parent, you're a wicked individual at that moment. What do we do when we disobey our God? It's the same thing. Can't you see that? We're doing the exact same thing as these children are doing to us. Folks, you need to make sure that your children understand these things. It also says, unthankful and unholy. Do we not live in an unthankful generation? Oh, my soul. You know, you want something to cook my goose. You go to the store, and a guy in front of you has got three carts full of groceries. Filet mignons, and porterhouses, and lobster, they got them. He got the carts full, and they get up there and they pull out that EBT card. Ching, ching! My blood pressure goes straight up, buddy. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm eating bologna. That guy's eating steak, and he used my money to buy it with. That upsets me. And they're unthankful. They don't care that you work to pay for it. They do not care. They think that you ought to give them a little extra next week because they might want to go down and buy a new pair of tennis shoes. Because now they can use it to buy just about anything. It's ridiculous. But they're unthankful. They don't care. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, man, if we got a little thing, we were thankful for it. Thank God. And we got a, I remember we used to go to the store and get a bag of candy, $1, penny candy. You remember that? Penny candy. Get a whole bag full of candy for $1. And we were so thankful that we had that. Man, we'd hide it from the others so they couldn't get it, you know? And we weren't poor. I can't even imagine what the poor kids did because we weren't poor. Unholy. Unholy. This is worse than just not believing in God. It's unholy. This is directly, deliberately doing things and saying things and acting on things to deliberately hurt God. I can't even imagine that. But these people are going to stand before God. But this is the time that we're living in. Then in verse 3 it says, without natural affection. That's mamas killing their babies. Without natural affection. I was watching, it was kind of like a National Geographic type thing on television one night. And there was this lioness. And she had her cub. And then she had a baby deer. Might have been a ewe or whatever, but it was in the deer family. And she was nursing that deer. And I thought to myself, this verse came to my mind. I thought to myself, that's natural affection. You know, in the wild, they're naturally enemies. She should be trying to eat that deer. But her natural affection was to care for it. And yet today we have mothers who are flushing their babies down the toilet. I mean, it's not natural. It's not a natural thing. It's sickening. Truce breakers. That's somebody who's not going to keep a promise. That's most of your Democratic Party, right? Amen. Come on, amen. I didn't hear it. Amen. What it means is that they'll make any kind of a deal because it doesn't matter because they're not going to keep their word anyhow. They have no intentions of keeping their word when they made the deal. Absolutely none. You know anybody like that? Yeah, where's Brother Rodney? I'm just picking on Brother Rodney. He wouldn't do you that way. Rodney's a good man. False accusers. Man, we're time's about gone. Incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good. Folks, people are so wicked and so sinful. They're so miserable in their lives that they can't stand you because you're trying to do the right thing. And how about Donald Trump? God bless him. He's doing the best he can for the country. And they despise that man. They hate that man. And then they claim to be Americans. I don't understand that. And I don't know about you, but I ask people sometimes. I ask them, do you like Trump? No, I don't like Trump. And I ask them why. And you know, not one person has ever been able to give me an answer. That's right. They can't give you an answer. They don't know. They don't know. The problem is they're so wicked that because he's trying to do something right. And listen, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen any other president that they talk about being a Christian? They talk about Donald Trump all the time. That man ain't a Christian. That man's not a Christian. Did you hear what he said Friday night? He's not a Christian. I'm like, come on, folks. Thank God that what we say doesn't depend on whether or not we're a Christian, right? My soul. And you need to remember that as well. Because he said something doesn't mean he is or is not a Christian, amen? Or it doesn't mean that he is or is not saved. Folks, all these things pertain to the church as much as they do the world. And that all these things together, if you wrap them all up together, perilous times are here. They're coming. And it's destroying our churches all across America. Churches every day, every week, there's churches closing down because of these very things. And we haven't even begun to touch all that God has given us here. But folks, every day of your lives, it's important that you be the person that you claim that you are. None of us are perfect. That's why we have Jesus. But it's important, especially when we're raising families, It's important that we be who we say we are. It's important that you let your children know what side you're on. Because when they get 18, it's going to show. When they get out the door, they go. And they're going to be on the wrong side of town. Folks, don't catch yourself in that situation. And what about other people's kids? What about your neighbors? Do you love your neighbors? Do you love their children? You want them to go to hell? Folks, that's what we're here. That's why we're here. That's why the church is here, is to get the gospel out. That gauge right there is to get the gospel out. Not only across the world, but across our little town. Folks, there's people dying and going to hell, and the sound of the trumpet is about to blow. And it's up to you and I to get the gospel out to everybody that we can. And all we'd have to do is live and obey the things that God has given us to go by. If we were to go by what he tells us right here, just right here in this simple little passage, we would be doing things that's honoring to God. And if we were honoring God, souls would be saved. But when we'd rather go home and watch TV than to knock on a door, the church has got problems. We're in the end times. And a trumpet might sound tonight. I don't know about you, but I pray it does. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you mostly for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the salvation that he's brought to each and every one of us. And Father, as we dismiss here tonight, Lord, we just pray that you'll go with us and be with us throughout the week, Lord, and bless us. And Father, once again, we ask that you bring the pastor and Sister Sonia back safe to us, Lord. And we just pray for a good and eventful week, Lord. And we look forward to Sunday, be back in your house. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Hector, you want choir practice?